Welcome to Sad Boys, a podcast about feelings and other things also. I'm Jarvis.
And I'm Jordan.
Let's talk about that.
Why? What? We were just introing the show. We were going to talk to you about being our guest.
What could that mean? Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Let's talk about that.
Don't do it again.
What are we?
I just do it twice?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes I have to have people tell me that I've done it.
Yeah, you've got such a big operation that you can kind of have a person for everything. You've said it twice, guy.
It costs us so much money every time you say it.
Yeah.
Because we have to use
the intro. The bill is racking up. Jacob, our producer, $1 million a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
No, dude, yeah, please.
We are in the red.
The shirt from his back.
I mean, there are so many things that I say that it's like muscle memory.
Yeah. Oh,
Sorry. I'm sorry for doing that. This is just going to be the real me.
This is the real you.
The real sad me.
We should talk about that.
Yeah. So let's talk about that.
We should talk about that. Different.
The intro's playing.
We should talk about that. So we are joined today by Link Neal, the inimitable. I like to use that word for some reason. Yeah. I think maybe three episodes.
You're not saying it right, but I do like it.
Has anybody imitated you?
Inimitable.
Lately?
How do you say it?
Intermittently.
No.
Yeah.
That's a different word.
Yeah, Ethan.
Let's talk about that. Okay, we can't.
Ethan.
So we're joined by Link today. Are you comfortable?
Do you know my last name?
Neal.
Oh, wow.
Red.
Yeah. Are you comfortable being called a godfather of YouTube?
A founding father
of YouTube, the Mount Rushmore.
Not founding.
You are the founder of YouTube. Yeah. You coded it in your basement.
You're the one in that Me at the Zoo video, right?
Yeah.
I take it as a compliment if you want to call me godfather of YouTube.
We're really just like making you uncomfortable on purpose. Mm-hmm. Like this, that's the show. You know?
Legend, the king, emperor of YouTube.
Bring someone into my living room and just make them as uncomfortable as possible and then kick them on their merry way.
Yeah, there's not many places to sit. I'm pretty uncomfortable. This place is a wreck.
It's the smell, I think. Actually.
You're clearly on your way out.
I'm out.
Who knows?
That's the liminal space I like to reside in.
I mean, you're implying that it's where he lives, which is not
and that, not that we just broke into a peer space, just like some abandoned building.
Yeah, well, like we have to record where. Pretty fast before the owner gets back, actually.
So
what is this, a WeWork?
Exactly. Oh, and we are working.
Let's
right
talk
now
about that.
And let's, yeah, this is not gonna end.
No. Once you say it, it's
once
really
you pop,
nice.
You just can't stop. It's like a pringle.
Right.
I kind of like it, actually. Maybe that's mine now.
So, Link, I feel like the internet knows you as one half of Good Mythical Morning.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But some people like me remember you as like the guy who was putting on a bunch of t-shirts and like a Rhett and Link video circa, I don't know, 2007.
Yeah. Maybe 111 t-shirts.
Is that how many it was?
Well, there were 222.
Mm.
We thought that was like a good internet number.
Yeah. Mm.
And I just assume I put on half on of them, but I probably put on more than half.
You've done a lot of...
Because I carry a lot of what we do.
What was the...
Yeah, you're kind of the...
Red just wore a shirt, from what I remember. He just wore a regular shirt. Didn't really contribute.
Yeah, he didn't contribute.
Does the internet know how tall you are?
If they care, I mean, I think you can find out. But I don't think... I think people like to normalize to Red.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then when they see me in person... just verbally process what's happening.
Right. Because we go through the same thing. I think I have a theory that because of how everyone learns to frame up their cameras exactly the same way.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah,
so you are basically normalizing a person to look at average size in a camera frame. You would never want to make someone look larger than life. You're not doing like forced perspective, like a Lord of the Rings
movie. I like
what
you're getting at though. Like if all of a sudden it's like, all right, new for Good Mythical Morning season 24, whatever.
Right.
Rhett's going to be chopped off at the collarbone.
He looks like your dad. Just like in the frame.
He looks like a Charlie Brown adult.
Yeah.
So, Rhett's going to be.
Well, it's a thing.
Oh yeah. He kind of goes in that anyway. Or maybe that's just in my mind.
Oh yeah, yeah, you have the youthful energy of Charlie Brown.
Well, there's definitely lots of times on the show when like one of us will say to the other, I just said that. It's like, whatever you just said, as if I didn't say it, obviously you didn't hear me. You're not listening to
me. Right,
should we stop? Is this show broken?
Sure. Uh-huh. Every single episode, there's
every single. Yeah, there's a part we have to cut out where we're like
the bickering.
I just said
couple.
That.
Yeah. Well, the reason I bring that up is because I think you're taller than me. I think you and Jordan are similar heights, right?
Like maybe the same.
Yeah.
Same
well, I'm height? 6 foot.
Huh?
How tall?
You're not 6 foot.
You just said I was 6 foot, right?
No, I'm like 6'1".
No,
six
I
one.
Thought
like
that.
6'1".
I think you're, yeah, see.
I just
I was thinking how tall I was.
We just said that.
Because we talked about that. So.
No, it's playing again.
Oh, God. Oh, God. So.
Venmo transaction.
We always get this thing where like I'm 6'1", Jordan's 6'3". And whenever people see us on camera, they just assume I'm like a little short Mario and Jordan's the big tall Luigi. You know what I mean?
And that's only 2 inches difference.
And that's only two inches different, but it's just about.
We got a 7-inch difference.
That's in crazy. But Red is a freak of a man. He's just like, like you're not allowed to be that big.
It should be criticism to him.
Yeah.
Not a compliment.
He should get hate comments about it.
Oh, he does hate it.
Oh.
He hates it.
Okay, well, now I feel bad.
Well, I suppose in his case, it's framing is challenging. And your show also means that there's a master shot, so he doesn't get to be completely isolated in his own little...
There's a stick. It says Rhett stick on it. And it's a 6'7" tall stick that like the crew carries around and like in order to frame things appropriately, because for
that
the longest
sense.
Time they would anticipate.
Right.
And then he would show up and then they have to change everything.
Yeah. Imagine if he shows up to a place that like isn't prepared for him, like like he's guesting on a podcast, like our podcast. Yeah. And then poor Jacob has to like,
is he going to, I mean, we're already only talking about him.
The height thing.
You're actually
going
to have him on the show too.
We're going to take all of these comments and then replay him to Rhett and then see.
This is all just a prep
we're gonna do
for
like
your
a
episode
way,
with him.
Yeah. We're just warming up.
Do you think he'll like the let's talk about that recurring joke? Cause I think if that doesn't land, we can cut that out. We really care what he thinks.
Right. And of course, so do I. I'm really glad that we're devoting so much energy to just talking about him.
Do you have his number?
I want to know.
Actually, I don't know his number anymore. It's one of he changed it. So.
I don't know his number. He has 7 numbers in my phone because every time he like leaves the country and comes back, he's got like
a new phone. Renaissance man. Yeah. What can I say?
It is like the iPhone glitches out when you look at all of the numbers attached to Jordan's contact.
It's very confused.
You
gotta
should delete.
Well, I'm afraid to delete the one that's his real number.
Right.
It's like Russian roulette.
Because then you literally could go, what? Days without talking to each other?
I couldn't tell you which of these is his real number.
One of them always tells the truth.
I bet you he could.
Yeah.
Two of them tell lies.
I bet you he couldn't, actually. That's a...
Jesus.
This is nice.
Oh, wow. Okay.
This is...
They're all... Whatever you like.
Yeah.
You don't know either, huh?
Who's to say? Hey.
Is there any creative desire for you to sort of have individuality in your content? Because I've really taken a turn here, because
that's a good question.
You've been like in a comedy duo, and this is something that like I think about with us, you know, because we've just been friends for so long.
Mm-hmm.
You've been in a comedy duo for so long that it's just kind of like it rolls off the tongue, you know what I mean? And people just like kind of associate you, of course.
I typically don't think like that. Mm. Like, I enjoy working in the context of the creative partnership. And I think, you know, over the pandemic, Rhett started writing music, like serious music.
Yeah.
And then he released an album under another name, James and the Shame. And it was...
Right.
It took me a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It took me a minute to kind of wrap my mind around, okay, what does this mean?
Right,
you know,
sure.
Could I read into this?
Right. Is this,
you know?
Is he trying to say I need, but it feels natural, right? Just to,
it was very natural.
And he's operating in such a segmented space outside of what you do together.
Yeah. It was totally appropriate. I'm glad he did it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad he did it for me, because it did bring up some good conversations between
right.
the two of us, where it was like, okay, he was expressing his desire to do this particular project,
mm-hmm.
you know, to express himself. It was just something that started happening.
Right.
And But the way that we started talking about it, it started off a little strange because it was like, I think he anticipated that there would be, that this is new territory for us.
Right.
You know, we've had a lot of conversations. We've had conversations about, over the course of, you know, 37 years of friendship, and especially like we're working on over 16 years of just being a professional partnership.
Right.
You have to talk about everything.
Yeah.
But when that new thing that you haven't talked about comes up, it always feels a little, okay, what's mm-hmm. this going to be like?
Right.
You know? And for him to be able to say, hey, I not only do I want to do this, I do like the idea of doing some stuff that's my own thing. So like his answer to your question would have been a lot easier than my mm-hmm. answer. Cause he'd have been like, yeah, there's things that I just want to do. You know, like he's more of that, like, I've got this big idea that just popped into my head and I want to go after it.
Right.
And the vast, vast, vast majority of that is then contextualized within the two of us and what we're going to do.
Right.
But sometimes it's like he wants to do some stuff on his own.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the James and the Shame project was a very good exploration of that because it was so separately defined.
Yeah.
And it made so much sense for him to go after that.
Right. It's now, not like you're going to play triangle just to like be involved.
Right. Right.
You know what I mean? And it wasn't even tied in with, because it's not just the two of you that are the infrastructure. All of Mythical is built around it. So if, yeah. say, he did yeah. the music and every other team member at the company was involved in the project.
Yeah. So he made some decisions to say, okay, I'm going to keep this entirely separate mm-hmm. to make this more clean.
Right.
And it is a bona fide side project. It's yeah. not like, I don't know. So I think I felt a little threatened because I always think creatively within the context of our partnership.
Sure.
So I'm just kind of built a little bit different in that way.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm fine with that.
Right.
And I think as long as I can be fine with Rhett doing his thing occasionally,
mm-hmm.
you know, if it took off and that's the thing that he wanted to pursue, that would be a much more difficult conversation.
Very difficult.
I'm not going to say it couldn't happen.
Sure.
But that's not what either one, that's not what he wants.
Right.
Not what
and there's, yeah,
I want.
It's a whole,
so
yeah, it's a whole
I don't think we'll ever get there.
Yeah.
Hey, it's me, Jarvis from the future. If you're watching this right now, then immediately after this episode of Sad Boys, you can head over to patreon.com/sadboys and listen to me, future Jarvis, and also future Jordan. He doesn't get a microphone in the future. We're doing another full episode of the show over on patreon.com/sadboys, available right after you watch this one. Enjoy the rest of the show.
Is there something that, as a duo, you would want to scale out to trying or doing that you've never dabbled in? Not even an independent project. I mean, the example that we know is not the answer would be music, right? Like we're doing a new
album. You guys
album
have kind of done it all.
Name.
You've made board games. You've done TV shows. You've kind of the creative gamut. You've kind of run together as a duo.
You've been 6'1". You've been shorter than that.
Yeah.
You've
hung out with the Rhett stick just as an emotional support stick.
I should have brought it.
Where did they get that? Was the mission, I need somebody to go out and find a Rhett stick?
Yeah, you like go to Home Depot and you're like,
it very much
bigger?
Looks totally custom made by probably Morgan, who works for us.
Okay, like, yeah.
He very much, he's very self-motivated too. So like, he'd be like, I have this idea. I'm not just going to get any stick. I'm going to make a Rhett stick.
Yeah.
But if you were asking what I want to do or what I want to just be mine.
Yeah.
I started getting into DJing, bedroom DJing.
Right.
I mean, really like living room. I don't technically do it in the bedroom.
Right.
You know, like, that is a sacred space.
Yeah. That you would have to have some conversations about that.
So
I do a kind of DJing.
Yeah. So Rhett and I would talk about how me getting into DJing as a hobby is like my own thing.
Right.
It's interesting that it's both music in both cases. Music are the siloed projects.
It was just something that I was doing during the pandemic.
Yeah.
And I was more, I was going to say reticent, but then that would like invite some sort of
pun.
Yeah, we're not going to do that.
No. It's okay. We won't do it. Now that we've like front porched it, we won't do it.
If okay, thank you.
Well, after this conversation, we're actually going to ban all mention of Rhett for the rest of the episode.
That would be great, actually. Yeah, because, you know, as the godfather of YouTube, the sole kind of...
Yeah, we didn't say Rhett was the godfather of YouTube. I need my dude.
Yeah. You're a single godfather.
My DJing has kind of taken a... It's still bubbling up. When we did Mythicon, I unveiled my DJ persona.
Oh, that's cool.
Elkhound Snuggle Baby.
Elkhound Snuggle Baby. How did you come up with that?
Elkhound came up because I like dogs. My mom's first dog was a Norwegian Elkhound. Beautiful dog. I just liked the way it sounded.
It sounds cool.
But it almost sounds too cool. So I had to put something with it that said, okay, if you thought the Elkhound was cool, and that's your decision.
Right.
But I have a hunch that you might.
Right.
So therefore, I want to make sure that you know that there's a second parenthetical title to my DJ moniker.
It's like a shot and a chaser.
Yeah. There's it's a kind, Snuggle Baby.
There's a kind side to me as well. I contain there you multitudes. Go. You know,
so it's like, it's a... totally unabashedly uncool, almost sincere. Like, yeah, there's a cuddly nature to the type of music that I'm going to play. The vibe that I'm going to set, I'm going to go into Snuggle Baby mode. Nice. And we're just going to chill out.
Maybe it's the pace of the DJing session, start high energy.
There's an Elkhound mode and there's a Snuggle Baby mode. That's right.
I'm going to go Elkhound mode this weekend.
So if you are DJing.
See, you get it. I was wearing huge ass antlers.
Nice. I am imagining you in red
and like
flannel.
A fur drape.
Okay.
Oh, nothing
I
else.
Like that.
Yeah, it was I was draped in a white fur. It was kind of Norwegian.
Is that appropriation? Do you have any Norwayness?
Yeah. We're about to stolen valor your Norway.
I'm sure it's appropriation.
Right,
yeah.
I think Norway is cool with that. Actually,
some of my best friends are
word.
I thought it was a safer appropriation.
I think it is.
Right.
Oh, I think no
on
one's
the
gonna call
spectrum,
you on
it's right? Barely even a thing.
Yeah.
For this white guy.
Yeah.
It felt like it was safer.
You've got more hardware to work with than we do. We are not the authority on it. I'm sure Rhett has
hardware.
Some experience being white.
I'm not a great DJ, but...
but hey, what was that word somewhere?
I'm just really into music, so...
What kind of genres?
That was kind of like my... It was my outlet, and it was my expression.
Was it the
And
the
it took
COVID.
Rhett to say, you know what? You need a DJ name. You need an outfit. You need...
That's like his kind of brain working the way it does, yeah.
Which is nice.
It was hyping you up like a Flavor Flav.
I think I do that sometimes for Jordan, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like
Flavor Flav.
Like your YouTube channel, which you just hit 200,000 subscribers. Congrats.
Congratulations.
On that. I remember we started the YouTube channel because I would always pull you in to do collabs with me because I loved, you know, I loved our comedic sort of energy, our comedic voice together as a duo. And we were doing this collab like right after I moved to LA. And we were like, there's nowhere for us to like tell people to subscribe. And so we started an empty YouTube channel that was like Jordan's YouTube channel.
And I cracked a nice 20K on that without making any videos.
Which I thought was really fun.
It was more of a celebration.
Great start.
Yeah, just a little. That's he's my Nepo baby a little bit, you know.
I just like to, I always think in the context of partnership and collaboration a lot more. I just think that's how I'm geared. Like when you talk about, like, what did you say about Flavor Flav? You said that Rhett was being my Flavor Flav, and he was like hyping me up to like fully form my DJ aspirations. That's true, but like back in the day, when I would listen to Public Enemy, I was like that. Of course, I was in middle school,
so
it's like that guy Flavor Flav. That's my guy. He is hilarious.
And we did ask you to take your clock off when you walked through the door today, just because it was going to clink with a microphone.
But now I don't know what time it is.
Chuck D was such a cool person.
Yeah.
And Flavor Flav was just and is this like totally unhinged.
Right.
But like that's who I wanted to be.
Right.
Like I was Flavor Flav as Halloween one year.
Oh, that's awesome.
All I did was wear sunglasses and a hat.
Like Flavor Flav. It's iconic.
And I had a clock.
I did have a clock.
You didn't even have a clock. He was like, I am Flavor.
But it was a very small clock.
Oh, yeah. It was a watch.
I think it was a, you know how, you know, a gym teachers, though, like, they'll have the stopwatch hanging around their neck.
Oh, with like a whistle?
That's what I did. You got the stopwatch hanging around my neck and nobody knew who I was. But like, I identified with that guy. Yeah. The guy who was, you know, he had a couple of songs on the album, but it was, he was a hype guy. He was really just there as just a little, you know, some seasoning to mix it up.
Right.
Like the, but again, I think it means something that, like, that's who I identified with.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Yeah, just my connection to him is really through the Flavor of Love show, unfortunately. Mm.
Did I tell you what?
I've never seen that. I'm making a decision to.
Never seen it before. Watched all four seasons a few weeks ago. Whatever, some weird series of events or alchemy in our apartment. Me and my roommate Ethan watched every single episode. Three seasons?
And then does he end up happy?
We hope.
Oh, he is not he for a moment is on. The only times when he is unhappy is the result of the dates he's going on.
Those are only
the time when he has an unpleasant date.
Yeah, when he's just not being himself. He's like, they're forcing me into this normal box.
And I had to meet their parents today.
Yeah.
Maybe I should watch this.
It's great.
It might be a religious experience for you. Who knows?
I'm also really connect with him.
Like, I'm a harmony guy. Like, when I listen to music, I
sing the harmonies.
Like, I'll sing the harmony because it was kind of self-taught.
Yeah.
But that's what would always get me, like, that challenge of how do I fit into this? How do I make this better? How do I partner with whatever's happening to be a part of it?
Well, not to like over extrapolate on it, but that is kind of what, of all solo music projects, that DJing would be the closest to that.
Yeah.
That is the like, the highlight of the project is the music and you're shepherding that. And
yeah, I feel
the best
that.
Opportunity.
I feel that.
Even being, you know, like an instrumentalist, more like classical instrumentalist is maybe a little bit more like craft focused. People are like, oh, look at that, like finger dexterity or something like that, as opposed to just you're doing a more holistic, the music's here, I'm just going to be the path for that.
And as much as I like being the center of attention, I don't know, there's always been this balancing impulse that's like, okay, but if I make this all about me, this isn't going to work out. You know, like the Junior Beta Club convention, this is a big deal. This was like ninth grade.
Okay.
And so not just our high school, but we went to like Garner High.
It was called the Beta Club?
Beta Club is, oh, you know what that is? That's like the smart people. It's the club.
I was part of the Alpha Club.
Yeah. They called it the Beta Club. Yeah,
that's funny.
My frat was Sigma Sigma Sigma.
So okay, wait. Junior Beta Club, ninth grade.
So we would go to Garner High, which is a huge high school.
Where,
and all of these students would be
in
North Carolina.
Okay, cool.
So all of these students would come there that we didn't know, and it was just once a year. And so we're in this big auditorium. And they're just doing the, you know, talking to the smart kids type thing. But then something goes wrong. Mm-hmm. And there was a programming faux pas.
Ooh.
And, you know, the way I remember it, there might have been, you know, 600, 800 kids in this room.
Right.
And somebody, an adult, gets on the mic and says, I'm sorry, we're having to sort out some things for a few minutes. Would anybody like to come up and tell a joke?
Oh, shit.
And so immediately, I'm kind of in the back left with like my betas.
Yeah, my betas. And if you were going to take this a different way in 2023.
Right. Yeah, I know.
Me and the soy beta cucks.
I know what a beta is, a beta male.
It's just like a very... toxic term used generally by men's rights activists to separate
to separate.
So it's like a weak
Yeah, it's meant to an emasculated man.
But only
in contrast to an alpha male.
In contrast to an alpha
male. And they exhibit the most toxic male traits. And so the beta is typically, look at this feminized guy, where in reality it's just, look at this
normal person.
I think all this will tie in very nicely.
Okay, perfect.
To where this story is going.
So you're in the back corner. You're with
and
your betas.
I just immediately stood up and started walking down the aisle.
Did you gesture or anything, or you just beeline?
Yeah, I was like, this is my moment.
Right.
Do I know what I'm going to do? Do I know what I'm going to say? Do I believe I'm qualified? Now, none of these things are thoughts that I had or probably would have now.
I would
probably do the same thing now.
But
I have to say, yes, I'm going up there.
And that's what's gotten you to where you are today, though.
Oh, thank you.
Because you can't.
A godfather of sorts.
Yeah, you can't, in any situation, you have to be able to put yourself out there. And I think that that is a superpower that not everyone possesses.
But then if you don't have any follow through, it could be problematic.
True.
I get up there on stage, I get the mic, and I said something about the food here really tastes like chicken. And that was my joke. But I think it's what I actually felt. I think I was speaking from the heart.
Right.
But I was trying to harness that for some sort of backdoor humor.
Right.
And people, when they thought I was going to say tastes like shit, they were listening.
Yeah.
And then I don't know what I said after that. It was just kind of like fugue state.
Right. Of course.
Next thing I know, I see Rhett coming down the aisle, coming up on the stage to rescue me from myself.
Right.
And then he had formulated some thoughts. And then
How old are you both in this situation?
Ninth grade.
Ninth
so this
grade.
Is like what, 14?
Maybe 15, yeah.
14 for you.
So that's kind of the pattern of I really enjoy working within the context of our partnership because I don't know how he feels about it. I mean, he might feel like it's a bit of a burden at times because it's like I can just kind of free fall into whatever and then know that he's going to provide a little more structure to it.
Right.
You know?
That feels related to our relationship, I was going to say.
I wrote it a while back. I always forget to bring it up. I did write a very soppy paragraph in my little Sad Boys prep note, which basically just summarizes. It was just a list of reasons I've been finding the show very easy since I got back. And I think one of the things that latency always gets in the way of is that dynamic a little bit, that handoff.
Oh, yeah.
Hand here. And since the beginning of the show, it's always been nice to, I think kind of what you're describing, I like being color. I like being Cajun spice on top of a good foundation. I've just always felt that Jarvis is a very good, not solo host, but a very good at structuring and leading. And it gives me a lot of fun space to just experiment, walk up the aisle without having a joke in mind kind of stuff.
Right, right, right. Yeah,
I do appreciate that a lot.
And it's good to kind of have different lanes. So it's not just like, okay, I depend on him. You know, it's like I would be curious what his version of this is. It's not something that we talk about that
much.
Yeah,
yeah.
Do you imagine yourself in the reverse where Rhett is up on stage and he's doing the airplane food is chicken or whatever? Would you do the same as that 15-ish-year-old? Yeah. Do you imagine you would also walk up the aisle and dive in, help?
I would just have to get my licks in, you know? That's the reason why I'd be going up there.
Right.
I don't think I would have had to have rescued him.
Right, right.
Because he's not going to put himself out there unless he knows that he's got a plan.
That's me.
And
that ends the Rhett corner. But I want to give you some specific...
Nice.
I want to move into the compliment corner, which is not a segment of the show that we have, but I want to give you some compliments, Link, because...
custom segment.
A custom segment.
Do you have any compliments?
Yeah.
When are you...
Yes, please.
Do you have any for us before?
Okay, not first, no.
First of all, I'm going to start this with a little bit of a... I'm going to start this and I'm going to take it somewhere else, all right? First of all, where do you get off? You're tall, you're attractive, you're successful, you've got a beautiful family. Fuck you.
Oh, is that how these compliments
drinking, compliment corner.
Drinking our water and yet you have it all already.
But what I do want to say is that you know, we started working together in a very, like, I'd say a relatively dark time for me, because I was navigating the pandemic for myself. I had, you know, just I had moved to LA. The goal was to, like, be closer to Jordan to do the show. This is, like, you know, 2019. We still had the podcast back then. We hadn't done it in a while because Jordan had moved to LA. I was still leaving Patreon. And then once I left Patreon, I had a really dark 6 months in San Francisco where I was, like, working for myself, and it was very exciting, but I didn't really, like, have the structure, like, kind of wasn't there. You know, Anastasia and I were working together, and Anastasia was in LA, but we weren't working together in, like, an official capacity yet. And it was more like, hey pal, can you review the script for me, like, that type of thing. And I, you know, through one way or another, moved to LA. Then you know, Jordan had to leave the country. The pandemic happened. It was just a series of unfortunate events where now we were remote.
Those are not correlate. I was not involved in the pandemic.
There's a lot of theories with experts that we just don't really know the answers, and we can't take his word for it.
Don't check.
But I, you know, the opportunity came up for us to work together. And I think I was at a time where I was kind of open to switching things up, changing things up, seeing, you know, what, you know, was going to help get me out of this funk. This is also the same line of thinking that led to me doing Creator Clash. We'll see how that turns out. 2 weeks, April 15th.
Jarvis Johnson, 1992. Yeah. 2023.
So one thing that I want to thank you for is that you've always extended yourself and been a very, like, solid resource and sort of source of advice. You know, we've gotten coffee a few times. I've kind of let you know, like, what's going on in my world. You've kind of given me your perspective on it. You know, you've heard the Jordan saga from the, you know, it's like, we're trying to get this thing going. We're trying to get this podcast off the ground. We do not have Jordan back in the country yet, but, like, you know, it's going to happen, you know? And I just wanted to thank you for all of your support during that time. Cause I'm feeling really great these days about sort of this stuff that we're doing. And going to feel even greater after Creator Clash, because I'm going to have a lot of time back. But yeah, I just wanted to sort of earnestly give you that compliment and that thank you.
Well, I appreciate that. Thanks for telling me. I really have enjoyed, like, the times that we've hung out. I mean, for me, you know, when we started working together, it was because we were fans of what you were doing, and we just saw the potential of where things were headed. And as we started talking, it was like, okay, this makes a lot of sense for us to be a resource for you. And I think,
And for context, for people who don't know, Mythical invested in, our company, our Sad Boys, like, kind of company, Sad Boys LLC. And so,
which encompasses Jarvis Johnson Gold,
sort of the whole content operation, including Sad Boys. And that was, like, the context under which we began working together.
Yeah, which and a part of our program we're calling the Mythical Creator Accelerator.
Yeah.
And I was just really excited, you know, and as making our team available and their areas of expertise to you and to other up and coming creators, or, you know, you're not an up and coming creator. Sure. So I wouldn't put you in that category now, but, like, you know, just like you're building something, and you're on this upward trajectory that, like, I like to think that we still are, Rhett and I still are in many ways, but it's a challenge to do that. And at every turn, there's, like, all of these challenges to build your brand and protect yourself and express yourself.
Right.
You know, so go after it, but in a way that's healthy for you.
Definitely.
You guys are a pretty rare example of having such a long tenure.
Yeah.
Which I think is part, not just that you've been on the platform a long time, but it's also been sustainable and you've adapted when you have to. It's kind of like Bowie's phases kind of thing.
Yeah. So we've been through a lot, and it was like, okay, how can we can we be of service to right. other creators that we want to have working relationships with us? So right. like that was where the start was for us. And definitely. I was excited to say, okay, my team can offer their areas of expertise, but for me, I'm interested in finding out what is unique to my experience that right. can be of help to you.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And to you and to, you know, a handful of other creators. Yeah. Right.
So, I will piggyback on the compliment of, you know, one of the things that I've always found helpful when I am in a low place is feeling witnessed, so that even when you are
witnessed.
Yeah. Witnessed okay. or even if See. You're not able to do much or have much agency in your life, at least you're not being archived. It does feel like you still exist in the world. And you, we met in person a handful of years ago for Patreon stuff and I still worked there.
Right.
First time we ever kind of socially met was the Streamies. No, was it the Streamies? That event.
Yeah, one of the Streamies. Yeah,
the
yeah,
most
yeah.
recent one?
Yeah. yeah whatever yeah, yeah. the okay. hell that was called. And you, I had heard even prior, but there were just so aware of my immigration situation,
yeah.
which just made me feel witnessed. And like that was a priority and an interest of people, like plural. And that just, I don't know, it felt like a full-ish human.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's not a fun thing to go through. It's no. That's a challenging thing. Out. Yeah, we've had a few team members over the years who've been through versions
yeah.
of, you yeah. know, the process that you yeah. went through. So it was like, yeah, so we knew pretty up close and personal, like it can take the wind out of you.
Yeah,
no just kidding. To, Brian actually
just
wrote
to
a,
see it to fruition.
Brian Flanagan of the Mythical CEO.
He was a literal witness, wasn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah, he wrote me a recommendation letter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is that Jordan and I, you know, we quit our desk jobs essentially to do this. And I think that part of the like challenge is building structure around the like rebuilding the structure that we had in that desk job. For all of its faults, it did have sort of the one thing it's good at is make like getting workers in a position where they can do work. And I think that having right. a lack of structure where everything's free flowy, that works for some people, but it really kind of, especially with me and like my own mental health challenges or situation, I with my ADHD and stuff, I really do need the structure in order to be productive. So I think being able to, you know, get support on like building our team, understanding where there could be problems, trying things that don't work out, and ultimately knowing that there is a North Star of like having a team that, you know, I think a lot of the conversations that we had about, you know, you guys just showing up to like do the thing, mm-hmm. Really influenced, you know, my hopes in finding someone like Jacob, who has been incredible, you know, shout out to producer Jacob, in elevating our show and really like helping take the stress off and allowing us to not only do the best version of our work, but to collaborate with new people and really like contribute to their careers as well. And, you know, create a cool thing together.
You have a great team of people that are all the best people to do the, you know, it's a, I guess a silly reference, but build a RET stick, right?
Yeah.
That right. just, that would not have happened if you didn't have somebody.
And
that
it's like that right. happens layer by layer, years over yeah. years over years. And it, you know, being in the earlier stages of that, it's really helpful to have, you know, someone to like, who's been through it to like bounce off of.
I'm here for you, man. You can text me more.
How long were you guys rolling just the two of you before you actually started hiring people?
We would have like a part-time editor back in North Carolina. And then we moved out here 12 years ago is when we started hiring up. So like Stevie was our first hire, and then Stevie hired Ben, our like DP director, editor, who, and both of them still work for us.
Stevie's like, such a, I so many people I know have no Stevie. It's the strangest. I reference Mythical, I'd be like, oh, I'm just talking to Stevie about something. How? Why do they have the time to have so many friends? I don't understand.
I don't know. I don't know how she has the time, but she does.
Stevie's great. So I wanted to show you some wild shit that we found on the internet. This is a completely, we've kind of done the show upside down. This is like the upside down cake of Sad Boys.
All right.
What? This is the thing where I'm like, I don't even know if you're comfortable watching this, but.
Oh, is this me?
No.
Okay.
Do you want,
I hope not. I'm like, the only thing I'd be uncomfortable watching is probably something you dug up about me.
No, so is just a wild TikTok that's going viral.
I don't knock women for feeling proud and for wanting to have, you know, that girl power and holding things over him, but no, you've got to give it up, ladies. I please my man in every way, all the ways. Wake him up, he gets to nut. Before he leaves out the door, he's leaving empty nuts. At work, I am calling him like, come outside, it's your lunch break. It's time for you to get your nut off. When he gets home, he's getting fed. He is getting another nut and one before bed or two. That's it. That's a secret. I make sure that my man nuts at least 6 or 7 times a day.
She makes sure that her man nuts at least 6 or 7 times a day.
And I'll point out, 5 of those are after empty. He leaves the house empty and there's 5 more.
It feels like she's training him for something. Like she's putting him through a gauntlet. So
what's your question for me? I don't want to presume.
Yeah.
I'm not just going to start talking extemporaneously.
No. This is more like when you see something like this, what goes through your mind? That's a lot, right?
That is a lot. That's a lot of nuts. I mean, there's been times where I've said, you know, how many in a day?
How many in a day?
Who are you saying?
I'll just say, just to speak candidly, not that many for me.
I'm a ghost, I'm a husk. Yeah, I would be ash.
I would love to think that at some point in my life, there was a day where there were 4.
It was a big day. Yeah,
but that
maybe
doesn't even seem. I want to be so real with you guys that I'm going to say I just can't. It probably can't be more than 3.
Look, I think
and
you're
that's
normal.
That's like
I think that's.
Well, bear in mind, this is also 7 days a week, 365 days a year.
Unless
he gets
her,
a day off for his birthday.
What is her story?
Well, that's a great question that you asked, because the lore surrounding this, I think, is more interesting than the TikTok itself. This is an OnlyFans model who's faking a podcast to advertise her OnlyFans, which I think is genius.
So she's not talking to anyone? There's no,
no
one.
She's not
looking
even using
at anyone.
The mic correctly. This is not how you use.
Oh, that's genius.
Yeah.
So she's just using like the visual conventions of being on
and
a
she's
podcast.
She's kind of holding it like this.
Yeah. The pickup pattern for this
mic
is not. Yeah. Is not what she's doing.
That's the best way to generate.
It adds up, yeah.
A fake podcast to promote her OnlyFans, and you're falling for it right now.
Well, so
even if you're not, you are.
Well, we want.
Even if we're not,
I do. Like, I don't. I think she's done some stuff that's maybe like unscrupulous or whatever. Like, I heard that she like exposed herself in front of train tracks or something to advertise her OnlyFans, and then the train people were like, "Hey, this is really dangerous and there could be kids on the train and stuff.
This is for trains. You're not supposed to be on
this. I don't really know, like, I can't fully co-sign this, but this is emblematic of a grander trend that's happening where people are pretending to have podcasts that do not really exist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because every day there is a new viral, weird podcast on the internet of somebody saying something insane. And
as easy as it is to start a podcast, it's a lot easier to just fake the podcast for the clips.
I'm like, do we just need to sit down and like
feels like
make
a waste
a bunch
of time
of,
come to think of it.
Yeah, maybe we could do that right now. What's something weird we could have an opinion on?
Oh yeah, okay. So portrait frame of just Link.
If this is a fake podcast, I'm going to look this way.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk to no one.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's what she's doing.
You got to be like, I make sure my girl eats 9 lasagnas a day. I wake up. I'm feeding my girl lasagna. She wakes up.
Covered in lasagna.
Covered in lasagna. And then she gets up. She does her makeup. Oh my God, she's so beautiful. I love her so much. And I love stuffing some lasagna in her face as she leaves the door. I make her a little lunchbox of lasagna.
She's an orange tabby cat and she hates Mondays.
Right. Her name is Garfield, and that is my wife.
Yeah. My hand is caught in a minivan door right now. I'm so glad to be on your podcast.
Yeah.
Where you put the guest's hands in a minivan door and you shut it.
It's our idea of like
it
hot
hurts.
Ones. It's like hot ones where, you know, instead of asking hot questions and even hotter wings,
right.
We subject
your hands in various doors.
A minivan door.
Increasingly large machinery. And right. A thresher at the end.
How's your relationship with your father?
As long as they bring the doors to me, I'd probably be up
right,
for it.
Right.
That's true. Oh, and it starts the same way where they're like, that's not too bad. Hey, it's like 2 pieces of paper. Yes. Like, is it supposed to be easy early on? Oh, that one's slow. That one hits you a little bit down the way. Oh. It tingles.
I'm kind of still thinking about what is this guy? I mean, he doesn't have that many nuts.
He doesn't.
I just have to keep going back to it.
The memes, the responses are very funny. Wait. Okay,
it's like a desiccated nut. Yeah. It's like unwrapping a mummy is what that guy looks like on the inside.
Me after my third nut and I haven't had lunch yet.
The lunchtime one, it's very funny to me.
I like the idea of your partner is like on a Zoom meeting like at work, and then she's like, okay honey, she like shows up at the glass door and you're like, could we? It's like you're in a one-on-one with your manager, and it's like I have to go, and something personal came up.
I understand? Don't check Twitter. That's
he comes back and he looks like he's like just a shell of a man.
Yeah, it looks like a carapace.
Yeah,
I'm not. I'm just not a fan of the fact that this is entirely fake, and I don't think it's good. I don't think it's good for relationships.
Yeah,
I think you need to express your needs, and you need to be clear, but you need to collaborate on that.
Collaborating is important because it does seem like that the man who is nutting is more like a cow in stable where he's being asked
kind of
to
a Flavor Flav to the dynamic.
Yeah,
there is no man.
There's no man.
There's no man.
There's no man. But if there was a man, he doesn't really have a say in any of this. She's
doesn't
like,
sound
I've,
like it.
Doesn't
I've
even host the podcast.
Yeah,
she get some revenue. I don't know.
Yeah.
What is the man? I did not know that it was a fake podcast, and it's so interesting that at no point in that clip did they say it was a podcast. We've just become so acclimatized to the text and presentation of a podcast.
You got the mic, you're talking, you're looking off camera.
Yeah. It's like, hello, it's me again. I'm Jarvis from the podcast that you're watching right now, except for I'm in the future.
And you can watch what I'm doing right now. Me and Jordan are here, and we're doing another episode of the podcast exclusive to Patreon, patreon.com/sadboyspod. For as low as $5, you get access to all of our exclusive bonus episodes, and you'll get access to other fun stuff as well.
Does Trump go to jail?
You'll have to find out.
So these guys, I don't know if their podcast is real.
Well, yeah, now what do we trust?
Guys don't like hanging out with girls. We don't like to have fun and hang out with girls. We like to sleep with girls. We like to attract girls. But if we want to just have fun and we don't want to like have that like tension, that flirtatious tension, or end up sleeping with a girl, we would prefer to hang out with guys. That's just the truth.
I just think this is just dumb shit. You know, it's like, I just have, you know, it's like I got a son who's 17. I got a son who's 13. And it's like, I would just hope that, like, you're watching this and you're laughing at it. There's people who watch this stuff and then they're like, learning from this. This is aspirational.
They get indoctrinated into using terms like beta unironically.
Well,
yes.
Because the target audience for this is like a 17-year-old boy who is like coming into their own in adulthood. And
which I would say is, I would say it's probably 14-year-old boy, but yeah.
But that's the thing is like, there is a whole kind of pipeline. Having an alternative where it's like, oh, actually this isn't the path to enlightenment.
That's what I believe in about what you guys are doing. One of the things I believe in so much about what you're doing.
This looks sick.
But yeah, it's you're applying some sense.
Right.
And sensibility.
Or Jane Austen, essentially.
Yeah.
Sense and Sensibility, written by Jordan Peele and Jane Jarvis Johnson.
To all the dumb shit out there.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, I'm just sorry that you have to endure this stuff in order to then, like, you're a student of it. Like,
right. Oh, you have to.
I avoid this stuff like the plague. Like,
yeah.
It is nowhere, none of this stuff is anywhere in my world.
That's
by design.
I think it feels almost, it's kind of, we are literally reacting in that I think we were just on the age cusp of them trying to get us.
Right.
Of just on the corner of, okay, well, no, I've had like 17, 18 years of life experience and I've hung out with women for fun. So you now saying this, the most bizarre thing about that kind of statement is what's this in service of? So now you don't get to, now you have to pretend you don't like hanging out with women for fun.
Which is who benefits? Bad. I played Magic the Gathering with a woman last night. Okay? All the allegations are true. I hang out with women.
Wait, what about the flirtatious tension?
It was a black-white deck. It was a black-blue deck versus a red-white deck.
That is flirtatious.
There were goblins. There were flying paladins with vigilance, okay?
I like this guy.
Okay.
I like this new joke.
All right? It was Commander. We were playing Commander. 100 card decks. You need a Commander, all right?
Your nose is bleeding.
It was a good old time. We went to the card shop and we bought some cards.
Let go of me, man.
Yeah. And I just want to normalize that. That's what I'm saying.
But it's only depriving people. There's no reward for thinking
it's,
that
yeah,
way.
This is saying to close your world off. Do not open yourself to platonic friendships with women. In fact, I am now limiting what your relationships with women can be. And this guy is speaking, he's saying we, and then he's like, oh, and I'm, sorry, you just have to see this.
Oops. The nut woman? I've already seen that.
You gotta see this.
Let's bring
seven
her back.
Times. So,
there's a sequel where she's like,
I need to see her after lunch.
She's like, he's dead. My husband's in his grave. I dig him up. I exhume the body. He's getting another nut.
7 days a week I do that.
Okay.
If you're a guy in your 20s and you don't have a Lamborghini, you should actually sit down and have like a serious discussion with yourself as to why you don't have a Lambo.
Yep.
Because I realize now that it's so incredibly easy and there's so much money out there, and 200 grand relative to what is out there in circulation and what you can grab, especially now with AI tools that you can leverage like never before, 200 grand is Trump change. And people will say I'm out of touch with reality and they would be right.
People can say that I don't have much perspective on life and that I am actually only performing as a rich person, and I'm going to say vague things about AI technology to do something. I don't know, make money. Well, I mean, you have sons, so your perspective is this must
feel threatening.
Who
are about to be in their 20s. So,
I just don't.
Where's their Lambo at?
Are you disappointed in them?
So does he have a Lambo?
Yeah.
Of course not, of course. Actually.
No, he does.
Probably does.
But his money comes from crypto and it comes from drop shipping.
AI technology.
So that's the thing. It's like...
I don't watch people that I don't think I could be friends with. Like,
yeah.
That's my criteria. Like this guy... Yeah, I mean, three words out of his mouth. I'm like, I don't want to know this person. Like, I don't want to... You know, so I don't think I'm going to learn anything from, I'm going to choose not to learn anything from this person.
Right.
Well, I think being.
Maybe that's closed-minded.
No, I don't think it's
being connected and relatable is kind of the foundation of what you've done for a long time.
You're getting what the kids call the ick. From this guy. Because, I mean, he's saying something very incendiary and outlandish on purpose, but his whole content is built around it. Still don't know if this podcast is real.
I was going to ask. He's had two different podcasts, and the other person's never in the shot.
But the other shot is just
Oh,
well,
yeah,
that's a Porsche.
We're introducing you.
Okay. Why is that a Porsche?
All right. We've taught Link to do commentary videos.
If there's a guy in his 20s with a Porsche, you should be ashamed. You're supposed to have
right.
a Lambo.
Right. Why did he put the Porsche down there?
Yeah, so his editor did.
It's a tiny little Porsche.
So this is a tactic on TikTok. A TikTok tactic.
A TikTok.
Okay.
Where to boost engagement, people will put
something
additional content, be it oddly satisfying, working with slime, and a Family Guy clip. It's yeah. called sludge content, is like okay. the sort of
sludge.
So it's not supposed to be the car he's talking about.
It's not.
He would have been better off not putting a car.
Yeah, it's like it was just uncannily close.
Yeah,
so that he just looks even more like an idiot.
Yeah, so this is like you're playing South Park while you're watching some like oddly satisfying content. It's okay. like if you're 15 and you have to watch someone speak, that's
God.
Boring.
Oh no.
Yeah. So now you got to sweeten the deal with a Porsche.
You need two different things you kind of like to be playing all the time.
Sludge?
Yeah, that's like the term that journalists, I think, are giving it.
Okay.
It's got a lot of different names, but...
Do you have, as somebody that's been on the internet for so long, did you have any desire to kind of curate your kids' experience of the internet? Kind of maybe dampen some of the more toxic experiences people can have?
I think I had that desire, but boy, that's a hard thing to figure out how to do.
Yeah.
By the time you start to figure it out, they're too old. You know, it's like, I think as a parent, you know, it's a lot of times you feel a little bit behind.
Did either of them ever watch your content?
Do they?
Yeah.
Over like Lando, he just turned 13. He'll still go through stints where he'll watch the show.
Right.
Cool.
He'll watch the show.
He likes Rhett.
And he's not, he likes Rhett.
He just hangs out with the Rhett stick. It's like a babysitter.
You know, he says, he gives me good positive feedback.
Like this should have a Lambo in it somewhere.
Like we were talking about, Lando's big into Studio Ghibli movies.
Cool.
Which he's introducing me to all those
awesome.
Movies.
Oh,
like
fun.
We saw My Neighbor Totoro in the movie theater. Last week.
Oh, awesome. Hell yeah.
So, like, I'm getting introduced to this world because I missed all of that.
Right.
And I was like, it's interesting. It's like, it's hard for me to stay awake during these movies.
Because that's funny.
They're great, but they're so relaxing. And then Chrissy's like, yeah, it's like there's a lot of fun and emotion, but it's not as big on plot.
Mm.
And then Lando's like, yeah, Dad, that's like you. You're fun and emotional. No plot.
Damn.
So
looking at yourself reflected in Hayao Miyazaki's classic, My Neighbor Totoro.
So he appreciates, he watches the show. Lando appreciates who I am and what I put out into the world.
Lando sounds awesome and has great taste, and I think you might have lucked out. Because if your kid is showing you Miyazaki movies,
we have a favorite,
fuck you,
your
once
son.
Again. Add that to the list.
I don't even want to know about the other son. He's my favorite.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We found one.
But he's not on... Lando's not on TikTok yet. He's not on, he texts his friends, but he's not on social media. So like.
The younger son?
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
Lando and then older. I mean, I don't want, if you haven't spoken about
Lincoln's, Lincoln's 18 and then Lily's 20.
Oh yeah. Cause Lily's in college now.
Mm-hmm.
That is so surreal. Yep. Does that feel very weird to you?
It was like whenever we were sending off to college, like I devoted an entire podcast to talking about it because I'm like, I want to squeeze every moment out of this like iconic experience.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah.
As well as for her. Like I just want to remember this and like
it's archived. There's an actual history of happening.
Yeah. So I like, and in other words, like I would cry a whole lot. Like when we dropped her off and like taking pictures of that iconic moment of her like walking away. And then you know, a couple months later, she's back at home. She's like, oh, I got a few extra days. It didn't turn out to be nearly as dramatic.
Right.
As I made it out to be.
That's never in the coming of age story.
No.
Is the like 2 months later coming back.
Come
back.
I mean, she'll like come home and visit or like, oh, I'm taking this quarter off or I'm this or I'm that and I'm around. And It's like, well, when are you going back again?
Yeah, this wasn't as final experience. As it felt like in the moment.
I've got to record some shows where I cry. Could you leave again in right. a dramatic way?
It's winter break is over and she's gone again.
A TikTok of her walking away with like footage of Rick and Morty at the bottom half of the screen.
Sludge it up.
This podcast has a very interesting audience. We have a lot of teens. We have a lot of like early 20-somethings. And then we have, you know, people who are parents as well. And I think it would be cool to get your perspective on, you know, advice for someone who's in that late teen, early 20s world. You know, you've seen your own kids kind of enter that and go through it. You have a little bit of a sense of the problems that they're dealing with. So maybe you could do a little secondhand parenting to the emotional perverts that are listening to the Sad Boys podcast.
Whatever pressure that you're feeling, and that may be coming from inside of yourself, that may be coming from somebody else, maybe coming from an idea that's floating out there. Let's notch that down a little bit. We're all just trying to figure this out. I think the more that you can understand who you are and find some things about yourself that you want to celebrate, maybe that's just privately. It's not like you got to shout it from the rooftops. You can build on that. Build on what makes you you, what gives you joy, what makes you happy, and then find somebody who loves you for who you are that you can trust when things go sideways and you need a little help. I think that nobody's got it figured out. Like, don't put so much pressure on yourself. Just you're doing good. You're doing just as good as anybody else.
Thanks. You know? That was actually advice for both of us. We tricked you. Thank you for giving us advice.
Well, I should have looked at you. I was looking down the... You guys are doing all right.
That was advice for everyone. Thank you, L Count Cuddle Baby.
Snuggle Baby.
Fuck! You stupid idiot.
It's in parentheses.
Do you want to... We can dub it. Do you want to just give us that clean?
Yeah.
Snuggle Baby.
Fuck. Again. Jarvis. Thanks again to
I'm so excited for
Snuggle
you guys.
Baby.
I'm so glad you guys are in the same space.
Yeah.
You got your shit figured out. At least some of it that gets you here.
Yeah.
Enough to have it off my mind and be.
Figure the rest of it out within this podcast.
Yeah, we'll That'd do that. Fun. That'll be on the Patreon.
Saddle it up.
When if you look closely, my eyes are kind of always thinking about it. It's always there.
Check out, we're going to have a bonus episode with just the boys because I have to go after this, so we can't record immediately after. But we're going to have a bonus episode, patreon.com/sadboys. But we end every episode of Sad Boys with a particular phrase.
We love you.
And we're sorry.
Boom. The shirt says, The Matrix was released March 31st, 1999. Andrew Tate was released March 31st, 2023. Do you understand now?
Do you understand? If you wash that on warm or above, it just becomes a black t-shirt.
Yeah.
Take the red pill and give me my coffee. Gucci girl, Gucci girl, how you doing? How you moving, girl?